Let's talk and learn. Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom. Let it flow. Let's talk and learn. Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom. Let it flow. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
My dear viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching our special program, Let's Talk. Let's quickly meet our guests. Let me share with you, show you who's here in the studio. MashaAllah, on my right side, we have Hafiz Bilal, who's traveled all the way from Halifax. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Hafiz?
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Ala kulli hal. Are you okay?
Alhamdulillah. Ala kulli hal. Jazakallah khaira. And on this side, MashaAllah, we have someone back here again. It's Brother Arkam. MashaAllah, nice to see you after a week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, how are you, Arkam bhai? Everything okay? MashaAllah, may Allah bless you. Keep you well, inshallah. MashaAllah, we have another personality who's joined us today. And I would like to welcome him. It's Maulana Zunnurain Madani Sahib from Rochdale. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, Zunnurain bhai?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, welcome to Let's Talk. This program is all about talking.
Jazakallah.
So here in this program, you can't stay quiet. You have to talk. Inshallah. It's all about talking, about making sense as well. That's obviously for the viewers there who are just listening to the program. Not for Maulana Sahab, mashallah. So just trying to bring a bit of a light mood to the program. In fact, our topic is more serious. Yeah?
Yes.
So it's not a light mood. So I need to change my mood now.
It depends which angle we look at it from. It is a serious topic to think about, to contemplate over. But I think in nowadays society, we have to slightly take a different approach.
Yeah, I think even that is taken lightly in society nowadays.
Yes.
But it's something that maybe people don't talk as a discussion.
Absolutely.
Now, something that you want to find a group of people, friends, family, sitting together and discussing such topics.
Mm.
Yet, people know that it's needed.
Yes.
And we need to, there's harms in it. Then we need to find solutions for it.
Yes.
And the viewers will be thinking, oh, what's going on? We don't even know what's the topic.
I disagree with you.
Disagree with me?
Yeah.
I agree to disagree.
Some people don't talk about it. I think from the angle you're trying to say that people don't talk about the harms of it or what's wrong with it.
But
in friend circles, I think people talk about it as a good thing.
Yes. As a good thing.
As a good thing.
Yes.
In youngsters talk about it as a good thing.
Yes.
Ya Allah.
To be part of that group or the association of that group, this particular topic or these type of things that are just openly talked about as it's nothing.
This program, Alhamdulillah Hafiz Sahab, that's the main theme of this program is to talk on such subjects.
Yes.
That sometimes we as community, we brush them under the carpet, we ignore things. And we let the problem grow.
Yes.
And then when the water spills outside the glass, then they wouldn't find a solution and they spill it too late now.
Mm.
Yeah. So sometimes prevention is the key thing.
Mm.
Yeah. And if you don't have any prevention measures in place,
absolutely.
And things have gone so far, things are broken now, how can you fix them? Mm. It's not easy. Yes, as a Muslim, there's still, whilst you're living, there's still U-turns. There's still a door of tawbah for you, still to make change in your life. But sometimes, tawbah, istighfar, making U-turns in life, that's one thing. But the impact that you've had on something, things that have been broken, sometimes that the scar is still there.
Mm.
And if you've broken a family, because of, your own attitude or your character, that's not gonna, it's not gonna get sorted. Yeah, it stays in the minds of people for decades sometimes.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, them type of topics about individuals only go once a person passes away. And, you know, then it's a new generation, new people. Yes. And, you know, sometimes there are many topics. Yeah. And today we've got one such topic that we'll be discussing. Let's go straight to the topic. The topic is boundaries in Islam, and in particular in relations.
Yes.
In relationship, there's boundaries. And just to, I'll make a start today. Boundaries in any culture, any field, any religion, there's do's and don'ts. There's certain things that we should be doing, certain things we shouldn't be doing. And people have different concepts. People have different reasons of how they discipline themselves. There's different things, the different measures to say this is acceptable, this is not acceptable. Yeah, different cultures have different rules. Islam has set out the boundaries. There are rights of people, there are rights of teachers, friends, family, and there are rights of relations. And in particular, the relationship that people have, there's do's and don'ts. And today our topic is more of the haram relationship that takes place outside marriage and what impact it has on the society and what we need to know about this and what are the solutions to this. That's the topic that we want to talk about today. Something that, you know, normally we wouldn't touch on. What is needed? These are such topics that if you don't do anything, the evil just keeps growing.
Yes.
So we need to know. So please stay tuned. Watch this program till the end. We've got, mashallah, a few brothers here experienced in the field of working, doing outreach work. They have a lot of contact and networking with the society. They've got a lot of experience. Inshallah, without any delay, I'm going to go to them. I want them to start off where they want to talk, where you want to, you know, start from.
I mean, Tawfiq bhai, it's like you mentioned, this is a topic that should be discussed, obviously, from the get-go, within obviously families, depending on what type of culture background we come in for, you know, we come from. And there's many a times, you know, many parents, you know, like you mentioned at the start, they don't want to talk about this subject, especially for the elderly community. And like Tawfiq bhai and Zunuran bhai mentioned, within the youngsters, this is something that's taught probably more often. And what's happened is it's become so normal for them with everyday conversation, you know, they are talking about these certain things. And I think the basic that we need to first look at, we are Muslim. And within Islam, there's certain boundaries, certain restrictions which are placed upon us. That's the foremost thing that we should focus upon from a very get-go. So within households, we should obviously embed certain principles into our children, even ourselves as well. I mean, nowadays, if I give an example, when the sun was out, right? And the way that we dress, right? It has a massive impact on people, the way that they look at us. And nowadays with the shaitan so amongst us, you know, it only takes that second glance, for example. Yes, unintentionally, the first glance may happen, but then shaitan will keep on, you know, working on you to have that second glance. And dressing modestly, you know, with haya, it's an absolute must, especially when it comes to hot weather. You know, what does Islam teach us? You know, for a man, how should a man should be dressed? For a woman, how should a woman be dressed? Because ultimately, the reason why those boundaries are in place is for these things to not happen. Like, for example, if you go out, you know, outdoor, even shopping or into the local park, etc. If you're dressed modestly, then alhamdulillah, you're not going to have any issues. However, if you're dressed in the wrong manner, then you're going to have a lot of, you know, eyes probably looking at you, a lot of words being said. And then it always starts from these eyes, always starts from such words, which ultimately that person cannot control. You know, at the end of the day, this is something that it overpowers them, but we should have that education, that mindset. No, Islamically, it's wrong. Regardless of which friendship circle a man, if they are talking about these things, you need to move away 10 a mile and try to disassociate yourself with them and try to educate them as well that, look, okay, fair enough. These are the things you're saying, or these are the things that are coming within our conversations. But within Islam teaches us this. Within, as being a Muslim, you know, this is something that we should refrain from.
Something that you mentioned, that is the way we dress.
Yes.
And okay, I agree that part of that, it does have an impact. But I think the deeper lying issue is not the way that we dress. Yes, there's a certain way that we're supposed to dress and a certain way we're supposed to avoid. But the deeper lying issue that we've got now is the mentality of people, the psychology of people, the way people have started to think. You'll find people, in the past, they might have been like that. People who dress a certain way do this type of action.
Mm.
Now, it doesn't matter how a person's dressed. A woman can have a niqab on, A man can have a beard, he can wear Imam Sharif, he can be looking like the most practicing of people, but inside the heart is something else.
Allah.
So it's not always about the way you dress, it's what is in your mind, what is in your heart.
You're right, the culture has changed. Yeah, maybe 15, 20 years ago, that was haya, like they say, the modesty. Now, certainly, if someone had a beard, there's certain things, at least in public, he wouldn't do.
Like, you've got a beard, don't do this. Yeah, this kind of thing.
If someone had a hijab at college, university, someone had a hijab, that person wouldn't do certain things because of the way the person is dressed.
The other thing is,
but now that's gone. Now it's like, who are you? I don't know, I was going to say the funny thing, it's not really funny, but no one really stops anyone as well these days. So if they see something wrong happening, they're not ashamed of doing the wrong. And those who observe or those who become aware, generally no one really goes up to the person and tells them, look, brother, sister, this is wrong.
Yeah, I was with someone and
that part is gone as well.
Yes, absolutely.
He said that he's a lot older than me now. He's a lot older. And he said, when we were in college or school, if we did something like that, walking down the street, we know 5 or 10 people are in our dad's house telling him that you've done this. And now it's no one. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, but I think, that is backed up with modesty. Brother mentioned, and that everything is linked back to what's in the heart. Like Yusel mentioned as well, and Tawfiq Bhai mentioned as well, modesty. That's reduced a lot, and it all depends on what the mindset of the person is. Rasulullah has mentioned, Al-Haya'u min al-Iman, that haya, modesty, is part of Iman, is part of faith. And also that reflects how a person's faith has changed as well, meaning the strength of his faith has weakened as well. So it's back to going back to our roots, i.e. modesty, teaching our youngsters modesty, teaching the manners and etiquettes of certain relationships and the boundaries of certain relationships. As they're naive, you can say they've not got that much experience in that as well. Mm. And like mentioned before as well, it is discussed, but it's mainly discussed by the youngsters to the youngsters. So they're speaking with those youngsters who do not have that much experience. So they're talking to them, but they're not really getting that much benefit from them because they're talking to them they're not experienced as well. So they need to speak to those people who have experience in those kind of fields.
So then, early on when we were doing the introduction, and someone, I think maybe both of you mentioned that when youngsters are discussing this in some circles, they think this is good. Mm. And I'm still in a shock. Maybe I generally know, but just to hear that is still, it's hard to digest. Mm. So there might be someone watching the program, any youngster, anyone who may be going through this phase in life and who might have contact or relations outside their marriage, and he might be involved in a haram relationship. Yeah. But that person, due to temptations and desires, the person might be thinking it's fine, it's okay. He's got all his own plans, always thinking to move forward with life. But what is the ruling regarding this? In Islam, what does Islam say about the relations outside marriage?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through Rasulullah, has given us a map of life. And that's through the Quran, through the teachings of the Quran, the teachings of Sunnah as well. And every single problem has a solution in the Quran. And the solution for this is the relationship that Allah has chosen for us is nikah, is marriage. And at times marriage is necessary, at times marriage is wajib, fard, it is sunnah. So these things that people, they might not be aware that when is marriage necessary upon me. They mainly think that marriage is a sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they forget the fact that at times that relationship, for them to have that relationship, is necessary.
Absolutely.
The reason being is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran that we have created pairs for you and you have to look for them pairs. Obviously, there's permissible ways, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned those permissible ways through the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well.
So having this relationship outside marriage though, what does it mean? Is it allowed, not allowed? Is it makruh? Is it haram? What category does it fall in?
Obviously, having relationships outside of marriage, that is obviously clearly impermissible.
It's forbidden.
It's forbidden, Islam. Yes, it's forbidden in Islam.
This is something that we've established.
Absolutely.
It's important to recall this, understand this, that in Islam, it's not allowed. No. Full stop.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why is it not allowed? You know, how can we make it happen? If it's not allowed, it's not allowed. And we need to know this. This is a boundary set by our Rabb Allah Ta'ala to Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala said, we have been made aware. Something we are not allowed. But in the case, the scenario that Zunurain Bhai just mentioned, that if someone is, you know, at that stage where, you know, to marry is necessary now, because he's gone so far in that relationship, and now he can't stop himself from haram act. In that case, you know, what should they do?
I mean, Sofie, wait,
how should they initiate the topic of marriage with their parents?
Because what needs to happen, if I go a stage behind Tofi Bhai, that nowadays, you know, we don't have that relationship with our children. You know, a father doesn't have a relationship with their child as much that they are openly able to discuss. Because obviously what used to happen, you know, when we were growing up, you know, things were totally different. Now we obviously got mobile phones, we've got tablets. We've started introducing phones to them at an age that they shouldn't even really be watching phones. And as you can imagine, on mobile phones, it's not something that we control. Age restrictions, you know, age-related content. And when they actually go into schools, there's many, many things are discussed, right? And obviously it's part of their nurturing, the way that the schools have set this mindset, that even if a six-year-old child, he has not physically adapted his mind, but they're going to give them, they're going to nurture them. So that's why it's very important, mashallah, Dawat Islami has taken the massive initiative and step towards, you know, schooling systems where we can control what is being taught to our children. Because at the end of the day, you know, many parents, many people should take this into context when they, when their child is going into school, what is actually being taught. Because a lot of things, you know, when a child sees that for the very first time, they're amazed to think that, wow, you know, this is something that I've never seen before. You know, I remember when I went to university, when I studied, you know, for 4 years, you know, at that particular time, you know, I was associated with the masjid. I was at madrasa from 4 o'clock till 9 o'clock. And then going into a university, it was a total different environment. But if I didn't have the conversations with my father, if I never had the conversations with my ustad, I could have fallen into many, many traps. There were many, many traps that people can fall into because that's away from home. And that conversation needs to happen. We need to have that conversation with our children and tell them, but beta, this is something that you are going to be exposed to. These things are going to happen.
It's part of society.
It's part of society. But it's my duty to tell you that this is wrong. As a Muslim, this is wrong. Have you ever heard that a father will go to that? You know, nowadays we think we're scared. Really? No. There's ways of discussing it with your children. And obviously for the mothers as well, they need to discuss it with their daughters. Have the conversations. Make them feel assured that they know. That when they are exposed to this particular thing, then they're not going to feel overwhelmed because they'll know.
Well, Hafsa, in the case that parents don't talk to their children,
yes,
kids will find out, they'll get some form of information, yes, if it's right or wrong, they'll get it from somewhere else.
But then for that particular child, they need to think that they're a Muslim, okay? If they want to go ahead with this relationship, that there's ways of doing it. Go and speak with your parents. Say that there's so-and-so person, for example, you know, I wish to marry them, I wish to get to know them. Tell your parents, get them on board first. They will have those conversations with you, the parent side. Have the elders involved. And then you can make the stability. If you're going to think that, hang on a minute, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm going to think that this is all pali-pali and it's all halal and everything. No.
I think before we get to that stage, I think we've skipped two or three steps out where we've got to the stage where
we're fighting with time today, that's why.
We're going the tell your parents about someone and this and that. Islam, it stops things at the root. Like you mentioned before, prevention is better than cure. So to stop these type of relationships, you shouldn't be interacting with the opposite gender anyway. So it shouldn't even get to really that stage where, all right, there's this person, let me introduce them to my parents, or let me tell my parents about them. We shouldn't really be interacting with the opposite gender. That's the true teaching of Islam that,
that
we mentioned about the phone now. I think the mobile phone is one of the reasons that this problem has grown. Why? Because, you know, in the past, you would have had to stand in front of someone or sit in front of someone and talk to them. So as a person with a bit of confidence, they could have done it. Now, even if you've got no confidence, you don't need to sit in front of the opposite gender to talk to them or do whatever. You're on the phone behind the screen. They probably don't even know what each other look like.
Allah.
And so that's why this case is when they meet, it's like, you know, 45 different age.
Allah.
Different age group, and there's all some other... Like
so that's why we have to be very wary.
Yeah, you don't know who that person is.
And you know, the FIBA, I was reading an article the other day, and this article threw me away that they did a survey, right? And 70 plus percent of people would not feel comfortable if anybody opened their phone.
Why?
Maybe this. Like, for example, now, if I give my phone to you, Taufik Bhai, I should feel 100% safe that, okay, Taufik Bhai, you can go do what you want.
And especially, you know, for a, say, a husband and a wife.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, we should, obviously, you got your personal data due to work. That's a different matter. Yes. But generally, now, are you comfortable to give your phone to your wife or wife to give your give her phone to the husband and be confident? There's no material that, you know, the husband won't like it or the wife won't like it. And that is something that, you know, we'll think, no, you can't have that. We have our own passwords and different apps, etc. But what about the fear of Allah?
Allah.
Where does that come in? Why does that come in our life? You know, we thoughts come to our mind and we follow them. We follow the desires, the temptations. We just go so deep in these relations. We know no one really needs to tell us. You don't. There's some things in life you don't really need a mufti to tell you it's haram. You know, a lot of Muslims, generally, they know what's right, what's wrong. There's certain things in life, you know, it's not allowed. You know there's something not right. That's the reason why you've not mentioned it to your friends. You've not mentioned it to your parents. You know there's something not right in it. But you still do it. But my question to you is, where does the fear of Allah come in? Is Allah not aware? Is Allah not watching us? Yes, Allah is watching us all the time. There's nothing hidden from Allah. The sins we commit in the secret, when no one's watching us in our, you know, privately, in our attics, under the duvet, blanket, no one's watching us, everyone's asleep, fast asleep, we've got these Bluetooth on, no one can hear anything, you're communicating with someone which is not allowed, and no, you think no one's watching, Allah is watching. Allah is aware. And the sins we commit, as some people, they show a confidence. Because they do a lot of sins in secret, they think, I do it anyway. I don't need to be scared. Mm-hmm. And then just go out in front of everyone. Sometimes in front of relatives, friends. They don't have that barrier, that thing that stops people, which we call haya, the modesty. That thing that, you know, that's like a hidden veil that you don't normally see, but something that stops you from doing the wrong. And they think, I can do anything. But how can you dare? How can you have that courage to go, you know, far when you know it's wrong and Allah is watching you? This is a time for us to reflect. Today, you know, we're here not just to discuss a topic, but let's use this opportunity to make a sincere tawbah. Ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. And if you are sincere, you know, you want to make changes, you know, look out for different ways. There's the solutions. One possible solution that was discussed early on, now if marriage is like close to necessary for you now, no, make it happen then. Mm. Yeah, don't get into haram. Yeah, make it lawful. Mm. Yeah, find the tools, find the ways. Yeah, and if you've been so courageous to get to that stage, now show that courage now. You know, be a big man. Yeah, be a bigger person and make it halal then.
Islam is a practical religion.
Yeah.
Like,
and don't ruin people's lives.
It's a natural thing between a man and a woman. And Islam doesn't say, don't do it at all. Yeah. It gives boundaries like you started with, that there's a way to do it.
Yeah, because we don't want, you know, the thing where we don't want the viewers, like sometimes, like, you know, okay, depending which work, you know, place that they come from. And obviously, especially within the UK, you know, there's many a times that we have to interact with the people of the, you know, opposite gender. So that's why, like I just mentioned, we need to have those boundaries. Because we don't want people to think, hang on a minute, you know, I'm in a workplace, I have to, you know, interact with the opposite gender. So with that particular instance, yes, you keep it to work level, keep it to boundaries, keep it to a certain extent. Don't go above and beyond, because that's what we need to emphasize on, is when we started, you know, we start going above the red line or the boundaries, then things start to happen. Within a professional background, within a professional institution, it's absolutely normal, but you'd have to have those particular boundaries in place.
Like, for example, you're a shopkeeper.
Yes.
As a shopkeeper, you know, anyone can come to your shop as a customer.
Yes.
So you won't say, oh, you're a lady, sorry, you're not allowed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As a shopkeeper, you know, be professional, but have that modesty in you. Yeah. Don't cross that boundary. Yes. Where the Islam's not allowed you to.
I'll give you an example. There's the way we talk to each other, that voice is a certain way. And now if there'll be some people that when they're with men, when with their friends, their voice will be a bit harsher.
Yes.
And then as soon as they're in that so-called professional setting, when they need to communicate to a woman, their voice automatically goes soft.
Changes.
Oh, why?
You should be equal all times.
Who are you trying to fool?
Allah. Obviously, Allah. Again, there's certain rulings mentioned in Islam as well. When you are conveying with the opposite gender, then you have to have some precautions. So obviously, you have that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. You know, youngsters of the past, those that used to be saints, they used to have these verses in their mind. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ. And for the one who fears standing before his Lord, there are two gardens. And they used to tremble whenever they used to have this thought in their mind that this is against modesty, this is against Islam. I should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I should keep that in my mind. And they used to tremble and they used to refrain from that, thinking that as well. And obviously there are certain boundaries, like you mentioned. Having them in mind.
That part you could call the strength of Iman.
Yeah.
That power, that inner power,
absolutely,
the confidence, there's something there that stops you from gunah. And that's what we need to build. So I think if someone is stuck in that type of relation, how does he get out from there? What advice would you give to that person?
I mean, obviously, with that particular aspect, it is going to be a struggle. If I'll be honest, you know, that sometimes people get into so much engrossed, it's not going to be an easy task.
Yeah.
So the struggle is going to be really,
accept that first. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. Easy. The temptations are going to chase you.
Yeah. And then, first of all, you need to sincerely repent.
Do Tawbah.
That, Ya Allah Azza wa Jalla, I've made a mistake. I sincerely repent. And I'm not going to do it again. And then set yourself new boundaries. Okay, I've done that. Now how can I better myself? What's my boundaries within Islam? And then it's going to happen gradually. You know, something, you know, like I said, with these things, you'd have to repent first, you know, sincerely do tawbah and try to set new boundaries, try to come away from that society, get into a mahal, change your environment. You know, whether that be coming into the masjid every day for 10, 15 minutes, try to come and reflect on what you've done. And ultimately keep on asking for dua and change your environment. If it's friendship, change your friends. If it's something that you can't handle on your own, speak to someone, especially within your family. If your parents are alive, alhamdulillah, speak to them. You know, I'd say the best medicine would be, you know, speaking to your parents, being honest with them. And inshallah, they'll obviously help you overcome these things.
But then
if the parents don't listen, then go find someone else. You know, within the masjid, there may be, alhamdulillah, mashallah, I'd say in Dawud Islami, we've got many, many muballigs, you know, that are able to listen to you, inshallah.
No, I was referring to say you speak to your parents that I want to get married to that person and they don't listen.
Allah.
What do you do then?
But it's just one of those things. You just have to
be patient. You know,
and whatever.
Wait for them to say yes.
No, it's not waiting. You know, ultimately, you know, your parents are your parents. You know, we can't go against them. If they have said no, there's a reason behind that. There's hikmah behind that. And we should accept that.
But at the same time, the message should go to parents as well. That show a bit of flexibility. The majority of time when you say no, they're gonna end up doing whatever they were doing anyway. So you rather give them that yes and make it lawful for them, protect them or protect yourself.
So the second solution, what I've gathered, is get married, basically. Get married, make it halal. That is one. But sometimes a person is stuck in a relation, he or she knows That's not the father or mother of my future children.
Allah.
I can't see that person. The character of that individual is not the one who I would want to, you know, be the father of my children, of my mother of my children. So if it's that case, you know it's not that person, then in that case, it's not the marriage. You have to cut off.
Allah.
Yeah. You have to be bold enough. You have to make the big step in life and say, you know, if that person is not the right person to be the father or mother of my children, then that person is not the right person. Then in that case, I need to, you know, move away from that person.
Even in the first example, when that person is the one you're thinking of, you still have to move away from that person. You still have to cut off until you get the yes.
In that case. But cutting off from someone is not easy. It is hard. But generally, in this type of discussion, the solution is marriage, though. Either marrying with the same individual or moving away from that location, you know, changing your address, going to a different city, you know, migrating in a way, move away, you know, do whatever you can. But one thing's clear, if you want to move away from gunah, if you want to stop this, if you're sincere, you know, you'll find a way. They say there's 100 excuses to do something, and there are 100 excuses to not do something. Yeah. So it's all about, you know, what do you want? Are you trying to please your heart, or are you trying to do the? Are you trying to make the right decision? Whenever you want to say something.
Just to, you know, how easy at times it is to, you know, make it halal, yeah, to make it permissible. There was a new Muslim who recently accepted Islam, and he chose marriage. From all different relationships, he chose marriage. And obviously one reason might be because he learned about Islam. And you know, he found a way to get married. And as soon as he accepted Islam, within the next few months, he made it happen. He spoke to the family members of the woman, the family members, his own family members. So obviously he made it happen. So when there's a will, there's a way.
Yes, there's a way. Absolutely.
Sometimes you speak to the parents, they're not happy with it. Speak to someone that the parents will listen to. At times when the parents want to make their children be listen to them, then they need to speak to those people who the children will listen to, either imam or their teachers and so on. So obviously there's ways.
We've started the topic today and it's time for us to say goodbye as well. But I want to leave you with this thought, or I want you to reflect upon this. It's a topic we don't talk about in our families, in our circles. And you all know that it's much needed. And please, you know, well, anything that has been mentioned today, take them on board. Now, take this topic further. The program's finished, topic's not ended. Yeah, you continue this topic in your own circles and find local solutions. Speak to relevant people. Speak to those who you trust, who you have confidence with. Get guidance from them. If there's any Dawood Islami centers in your locality, reach out to them. No, please, no, don't hesitate. No, we want to just make you aware that you're not alone. Especially those people out there who feel, I'm alone, I don't know who to talk to, I need some Islamic guidance. I need to know what's right, what's wrong. I'm stuck in it and I can't get out. If you want to talk to someone, reach out to us. Inshallah, someone will get back to you. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Amen. Keep us well. Remember this, the boundary. If we maintain in the boundaries of Islam, inshallah, the journey to Jannah will become easy for us. Amen. And that's our destination, inshallah. Amen. May Allah Ta'ala bless you all. Keep you well. Inshallah, we'll see you again next week. Same time, same place, only on Madani Channel.
Let's talk and learn. Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom. Let it flow. Let's talk and learn. Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom. Let it flow.